Swiss Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 105 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Verri.
And I am Curtis Pera. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So I want to start by saying, Matt Porter, if you're listening, and I know you are, surprise, we're doing an episode on your brother. There he is. How cool is that? And by the way, also sporting the Kiss Room t-shirt.
Nice.
But this episode is not about, it's not about Matt. This episode is about Anthony Porter. We're going to be talking about his musical influences, his band, Three Chord Money, and of course, talk a little Kiss. Kiss Army, please welcome the Anthony Porter. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Look at the guy. Welcome, man. Welcome, Anthony, to the show. So, Anthony, you know, an obvious first question must be, what was it like growing up with Matt Porter?
Well, that's a good question. I want to start by saying I appreciate you sending me the script. These questions are great. It gave me something to think about. So we are twin brothers, actually. He's twin brother. And I guess I would start, I'll do a backwards and forwards here. So anyone who's listening to this podcast, if you've never listened to The Kiss Room starring the Matt Porter, I urge you to do so. Go on and listen to The Kiss Room. Follow The Kiss Room on Facebook. It's a great, he does it once a month, but you can look it up on, you can look up all the old episodes, and it's a great show. So I kind of come two ways here. I know Matt Porter from The Kiss Room as the show, which I think, you know, for Kiss, this is the part of this interview that will be about Kiss is, The Kiss Room was really my entrance into podcasting in general. When he started The Kiss Room, it's like 10 years ago. Yeah. You should just have him on your show. He's the best talker in radio. And it was, 10 years ago, podcasting is not such a long thing that I remember when he said, oh, we're going to do this thing as a podcast. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then, he's done so well with the Kiss Room and just loves, it's his enthusiasm. And I love the program. I love the energy of that program. I'm sure a lot of people that are your listeners are aware of the Kiss Room and they really should listen to the Kiss Room. It's great. Follow it on Facebook. I love the show. I really think it's the right tone of Kiss. It's celebration of Kiss. We're not picking apart records. I used to go on. I've been on from time to time as a guest. He's over at Monco Radio, and I could do when it's live. I'll go over from time to time if I can make it work on my schedule. And then they have now the house band sends and recorded, but we used to go over and play live, record it, live on the show. So I would do that. And I just love the Kiss Room. I love the show, and he's a great talker. He's a great interviewer. And then that transitions into my other part. I am the brother of the Matt Porter. And a lot of people say, I listened to the recent episode of the Kiss Room, and he interviewed a guy, Eric Alberti, if you know who that is.
Yeah.
And Eric says, you just seem like a really cool dude. I would like to hang out with you. And they hung out at Rock and Pod. Well, the answer is he is the coolest dude. My brother is the coolest guy you will know in real life as well. Like, it's not this guy on the show and then yeah, whatever in real life. He is the coolest guy in real life. That same enthusiasm that you hear in the Kiss Room is what he has in real life. And I could make this a long thing. I mean, I was glad you sent me these questions early. It gives me a lot of time to think. I'm very lucky. We're twin brothers. My entire Kiss journey, my entire life journey, I've gotten to share with my brother. And, I'm getting a little older. We're all getting a little older. I can never appreciate that enough. Like, I just, to always have sort of your ride or die buddy there that will listen to you and be excited about things. I don't have to explain anything. I really am very thankful for that in my life. It's really helped me with my music. It's helped me with my life. But, we could do 2 hours on things.
Of course. Of course.
It's really a great thing. I mean, we're twin brothers, and he's just the greatest guy. And that's just the truth. That's the truth.
Anthony, you know, it's amazing, you know, to hear, you know, saying those things about Matt. You know, everybody loves Matt. You know, he's an awesome guy, the coolest, yeah. as you said. And you mentioned Kiss being so important in your life. But do you share the same love for Kiss that he does?
Well, I don't think anybody shares the love of Kiss.
I had to ask you.
No, I at this time, no, I will say I am not on that level of he loves Kiss. And I know Kiss has really done a lot, you know, in his life. So I'm not at that level at this point. I do love Kiss, but nobody loves Kiss like he loves Kiss. And I mean that the best possible way. I mean that from the bottom of my heart, because he's very enthused. And with having the Kiss room, it really puts you in that, you know, you go to a show with him and everybody wants to run over and say hello to him. And, you know, he really, because he's worked with the show too, I think you're thinking a little more about, you know, current Kiss or current situations. Mm. And I am not that level of fan, but I don't mean that in a bad way at all. It's a good thing.
No. You know, each yeah. one of us, you know, we live and we breathe Kiss in a different way. Right. So it's really hard to compare, but, you're a huge Kiss fan too. Can you share with us some of the Kiss related experiences you had, like concerts, expos? You know, I'm sure that you've been to many of those. So absolutely. Can you share something?
Yeah, my brother and I mean, we got Kiss, you know, 1978, 1977. So really, you know, our age guy that's right there in the meat of it, of, you know, that's Kiss on Paul Lynn special, the Phantom of the Park, all that's coming out. Those, that three, like Destroyer, Love Gun, Rock and Roll Over comes out. We're right in that as kids, which I think, you know, just stays with you forever. There's a great picture of us, 1978, we were Kiss in the Halloween parade. And it's me and my brother, he's Peter Criss. My other brother, Phil, was Ace Frehley, and our friend Dwayne was Gene Simmons. And it gets shared a lot. It'll end up in the Kiss room. And there I am, chubby little face Paul. But, you know, that's 1978. So we're Kiss fans all the way through, all the way you go through the 80s, you go through high school. That was my first, probably, I think that was my first, like, arena concert was Kiss in 86 on the... That's a Crazy Nights tour, Asylum, like...
In between Asylum and Crazy Nights. Years. Yeah, right after Asylum.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the thing where I tied in with my brother is, even now I could say, yeah, we drove that concert and we got lost. It's pre-GPS and we missed the concert. We missed the arena and drove around, blah, blah, blah. And it's a really funny story. You know, you say that and you laugh because we made it to see them on time. So that was my first concert, like big concert. And then... Even I've probably only, I mean, I've only, every time I've ever gone to see Kiss, I've gone with my brother. Like, that's my jam. Like, and I've seen them, I've probably seen them 10 times. He's probably seen them 1,000. You know, I don't get to the same amount of concerts, but, you know, the concerts, all the other ones, if you ever, there's a great, so if you listen to Kiss Room, where Gene Simmons says, this is Gene Simmons, you're listening to the Kiss Room, but you knew that. I was standing right behind him when we went through the line. So a lot of times at the Kiss things, I'm just the brother walking behind, you know, I've met most of the guys in Kiss, not all of them, but and I'm really a lot of times just the brother walking behind, and which is cool. You know, actually a very cool story is that time. We saw Gene Simmons band at the Trocadero, and we got to go through the meet and greet where he does the recording, and I'm there recording with my phone, and my whole time I'm like, all right, Gene, you got one shot. You're going to be cool to my brother. Other than that, I don't care. And he was very cool. And then we took our picture. I'm like, all right, good. And he was very cool. And I've actually met Gene a couple times, and he's very cool every time. But he was very cool that time. But my point is, like, I'm the guy. I'm second in line, you know. You go first, I'll go. It's cool. But that was a great time. I and And then you had the expos, like you think of the KISS expos in the late 80s, early 90s, the ones in New Jersey that were really huge. Everything's pre-internet where you're finding, we always joke, and we have this joke, it's the only thing that gets a bunch of guys to sit in a circle on the floor, either strippers or watching concert DVDs.
I love
because
it.
At that time, you know, you didn't have all the DVDs. It was VHS, you know.
Right.
And I remember going up to the record revival, and they would have the VHS. We would just sit all day and watch these, and not just KISS. It would be like, oh, there's, you know, Dio at the Spectrum 88. We'd watch that. It was like gold, really. So we would go to those expos. I went to quite a few of the KISS expos that were in New Jersey, like the Rothman Center in New Jersey. And we would do that. And yeah, I went, like, I saw Gene playing the solo act. Well, I went with my brother, you know, that's what a lot of my KISS journey is. I did this for KISS with my brother.
With
and that's
my
really,
brother.
You know, if that's the theme of my whole thing with that is if like your show is about the fans, you celebrate the fans, the KISS room, he celebrates the fans. That at this point to me is what it's all about.
Yeah.
We're all fans of KISS, the way same way people might be fans of like the Phillies or something. But if you're walking down the street, you see a dude with a KISS shirt, you go, and you at least go, dude. And I think that's a thing. Here we are in 2023. You can celebrate this common, like a common thread with people that you don't even know. And it's cool that way.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about, you know, being in a, you know, like in a KISS group or on your page or anything like that, is you're finding people with your shared interest and you hope you all get along.
Yeah.
True. So Anthony, you know, we can talk about Matt the entire episode.
We could do an hour on me and my brother. Sure. Yeah.
We can. Great. But you know what? We're going to do an hour on you because we want to know about you. I've met Matt several times.
That's awesome.
And this is like the first time we've met here online,
right,
on this show. So I'm really looking forward to getting to know you a little bit more tonight. So we're going to talk about Three Chord Money in a few minutes. But let's talk about your musical influences first. What did you grow up with musically?
KISS is one of my early ones as a kid. Like that was one of the first albums I bought, KISS. And then I was talking the other day, like the Monkees. I love the Monkees. So it was a lot of that rock stuff, especially, you know, 70s and the 80s. And I'm listening to all that hair metal in the 80s. You know, all those hard rock bands, you know, KISS, Van Halen, Thin Lizzy. I love Springsteen. My musical influences, you know, it goes like that, hard rock. And then really the last, where as it pertains to Three Chord Money, the last, say, 20 years. So I played in a group called Clash and Plaid for about 20 years, which is more hard rock. People always would say, oh, you're such a punk band. I never thought we were a punk band until I listened to it years later. Yeah, we're kind of punk. But that was more influence. There was, you know, KISS and that type of influence. But then, you know, and then a huge one for me is Social Distortion. And then I got into Elvis and Johnny Cash, the sort of outlaw country stuff, Willie Nelson. Again, me and my brother, we met Willie Nelson once, and it was a huge moment for me because Willie was so nice to us. And that's a big thing. You know, if you're listening to a guy, you say, oh, his music is cool. But as Willie is a person of the world, but he was so nice to us in that 2 minutes you get that I'm like, man, he's just a great guy. I will always think positively of Willie Nelson, because he was so nice to us. And that's the thing, you know, it's not that I really care about celebrities, but you have one chance when you're the same way. I've met Gene Simmons a couple of times. Like I said, he was really cool to me both times. I've met Ace Frehley, really cool to me both times. So that's my musical influences. You know, not really that all over the board. It's kind of rock stuff. I mean, a big one for me with my music with like Clash and Plaid or even into Three Chord Money is Social Distortion. I love Social Distortion. And like that style, you know, the way Mike Ness writes songs, his vocal was huge. But then, you know, it's a long running joke. I mean, I was in Clash and Plaid for almost 20 years. And I remember a kid said to me one time, he goes, you're a cross between Paul Stanley and Ric Flair on stage. I'm like, yep, my job is done here. You know, that was what I A lot of my Paul, you know, my moves came from Paul in the early days, because Paul, I will always say 70s and in the 80s, all those 80s bands, Paul is the best singer. So I sang a lot of Kiss, you know, that I'm an early records Kiss guy, like a makeup guy. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's sort of some of my musical influences. And then I've been really lucky. People I know in real life that have helped me, even my brother. I mean, if I record a 30-second, I'll think of a song right now. Boom. I'll record 30 seconds of it. I'll send it to him right away. Hey man, I got 30 seconds on my phone. Just listen to this. He's my barometer of cool. If he goes, no man, that's crap, I probably won't finish it. You know, he's very supportive of my music, which I feel very fortunate about, is I can send it to him and get an honest opinion. And that's important with, you know, with writing songs. I've been writing songs for 30 years, you know, but you still go, as soon as you write, you think, I got to send this to somebody. It's real cool, right? And that he's my first one that I can send it to. So it's cool.
Nice, nice. Tell us more about some of your songwriting and bands. Before Three Chord Money.
Well, so before Three Chord Money, it's Andy Watts and Kenny Lesso, and then and our drummer. We've had a couple different drummers, great guys: Jeff Leonard, Daley Thomas, Steve Ackerman, that come to mind right away. So I played in Clash and Plaid. So my buddy Andy Watts, it's in the thing for Three Chord Money. I probably am a musician because of Andy. Like, I've played with Andy basically in a band since 1990. We started our band together in 1990. And I it's great. I had these questions for about, you sent me the questions for about a week. It gives you a lot of time to think about it. And I really, this is very important. I've always been able to play with a certain group of people. Kenny and Andy, I've played with 20, 30 years. Andy, 30 years, really. So I'm really lucky. I mean, there's a lot of really talented people that don't find that collaborator in their life. And I'm so fortunate. But I was thinking about that, really, is, I always say all the best songs we have, whether it be Clash and Plaid, whether it be Three Chord Money, is the best songs are Andy and I write them together. Mm-hmm. They're not as the ones I write by myself are not going to be as good. He's just a fantastic musician, just a great guy. I'm very fortunate to have such good friends my whole life. So my influence, he's as much of an influence to me. I can rattle off famous people, but playing with Andy's another one. I'll play it and go, hey, cool. Is it cool? That's cool, right? I'm very fortunate in that respect. And Kenny too, I've played with Kenny for 20 years. I mean, people say, oh, these guys are my brothers, but they really are like brothers to me. I'm very lucky that number one, I have really solid people. I mean, you get to where you play long enough and everyone in your circle's a little musically connected. I'm very lucky. I also play in a group called She Wolf, Dana Kane, and the Mighty Incisors. Mm-hmm. And same thing, Kyer and Dana and Tom. It really are friends to me. It's not like, my group, but they're all jerk-offs. I'm very lucky to just have so many good people that I get to play music with. And I think that's more influential at this point, is I'm just so happy to be able to go play with people that I really love. And I'm lucky about that. I never overlook that. Driving to practice going, hey, this is great. It's not a line like, oh, these guys are my brothers. You know what I mean? It really is a thing that I'm very lucky about.
But now you mentioned Andy and Kenny, so important in your life as a musician and as friends. But how did Three Chord Money start? How did the band originate?
So Three Chord Money, we started. It was Kenny and Andy and me. We had played in Clash and Plaid for about 20 years, and Clash and Plaid's a little more of a heavy, like a hard rock group. And then, I'm just way into, the Johnny Cash stuff and I guess you'd say outlaw country, alt country. So we're writing all these other songs, and I said, we're going to sit down and write. It started out sort of being, we said, oh, it's Clash and Plaid, but we're playing acoustic. We're going to do an acoustic Clash and Plaid show. Well, then that crowd of people that maybe wanted to see Clash and Plaid, hard rock, they're like, this is acoustic or whatever. And so we're gonna make a like a break and call it Three Chord Money. It's a separate thing. And but the big thing is writing songs. I love writing songs. And like I've said, I'll say a million times, the best songs are the ones that Andy and I write together, whether I write some of it or he comes up with the music. I mean, those are the best songs. And he's a fantastic musician. And so we started Three Chord Money out of Clash and Plaid. And it was originally just an acoustic thing, the three of us playing acoustic. Then we got a drummer, Jeff Leonard. And he's on all the records. Jeff is on all the records and plays live with us. That is the group of Three Chord Money, you know, like it's Jeff and Kenny and Andy and me.
Yeah.
But it really came out of Clash and Plaid. I mean, for any of your listeners that want to look up Clash and Plaid, we're also on the internet. It's on Spotify, everything. The big song for Clash and Plaid was Be My Batgirl, which is a song about Yvonne Craig Batgirl, which did real well with the comic book crowd. And actually, she got to hear it, which was a big, that was probably my highlight of Clash and Plaid was Be My Batgirl. And then it was on, I don't know if it's still there, but it was on Yvonne Craig's website for years. And she said, what a wonderful song this is, which is really cool.
Wow.
That was kind of the high water for Clash and Plaid. But we played for 20 years. I mean, you know, playing a lot, we gigged a lot, and all that stuff, you can look that up. I know it's on Spotify. It's probably on everything digital.
Mm-hmm. Good. Awesome.
So, Anthony, how would you define the music of Three Chord Money?
Three Chord Money, I guess, sort of outlaw country, sort of alt country. I mean, we're not really a country band. I mean, I live in Philadelphia, so we're going to sound like we're going to sound. A lot of times, I said, you know, my big influence is Social Distortion. You get a lot of people will say, oh, you sound like Social Distortion, which is a great compliment. In the same way, you know, Mike Ness came at music liking Hank Williams and things. I'll say Three Chord Money is like a country band, but we're like a rock and roll band. I mean, you hear some Stones in there and, you know, you hear the country, but, you know, it's not traditional country or it's certainly not new country. I mean, you know, it's just, you're writing songs. I mean, that's, you know, Clash and Plaid, no one ever would have said you're a country band. And that was my thing, was this is more of a country band.
Okay.
So the music of Kiss is, you know, confined within the theme that the band laid out for itself, right? So do you feel that your music in Three Chord is on a theme that identifies as, well, this is the music of Three Chord Money?
Yeah, it stays in the same shelf. Like the songs will stay sort of in the same, you know, we're not going to do a polka song or anything, but I think it's all got a common theme because that's sort of what we're doing right now, but it's not by, that's a good question. I mean, we're sort of, I think it all feels the same. I don't go too left or too right with the song. Yeah, okay. I don't have a 12-minute opus at the end. And, you know, they're all, you know, that's my songwriting, especially the ones if I write them myself. They're about, you know, 2 minutes, 59 seconds and, you know, verse, chorus, guitar, solo, chorus, hour, good. And so it's not, but that's a good question. But I think there's just kind of a common thread, kind of that outlaw country thread with Three Chord Money.
Okay. I think before we continue, I think we should give our listeners a taste of what we're talking about, a sample from Three Chord Money. So what would you like to play for our listeners?
Well, this is great because I do feel like if your listeners have not heard us, then I'm just talking. So this way, if you listen and you go, okay, I like this song, I'm good with that, then I feel good about that. So this is actually a new song. I'm hoping to get over and record it really soon. So, because we had talked about it, I said right away, I'm like, well, we got to do songs. There's got to be songs on the podcast. I can't just talk about it.
Nice. And, yeah, I love it.
And I don't want you to get dinged on. Well, you know, I really, this is a big thing for me. If I'm listening to an interview and someone just goes on and on, you know, maybe about their process or blah, 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 blah. But then there's songs. If I don't like the songs, then I really don't care to hear the story. That's right. I do want to give you a shout out. I listened to Danny Farrow from Angel the last podcast 100, and so I'm fascinated already because I know the music of Angel, so I'm like, okay, cool, I'll listen to this guy. But if you're just walking up, or I listened to the episode with Rick Fox, and of course we all had the Steeler record. Everybody has the Steeler record. So it's a big thing. I appreciate you letting me play a couple songs on here, because that way people can, if they like it, then they'll go look up, you know, some other music. This song is actually a new song, and there's no proper recording of it yet. So it's kind of an exclusive to your show. I've played it a couple times, played all the time in, you know, live settings, but I haven't, there's, so you can't go find that yet on the digital. But this song is called Hope in a High Road. Song, that's a new one I'm really happy about, so I'm playing that a bunch.
Oh, that is a fantastic song. Seriously, super fantastic. Cool.
Thank you very much. I love that.
Wow,
one. I love the vibe, you know, it's awesome. Love it.
And it's an exclusive on our show. It's fantastic.
I think I played it once, I played it on the Kiss Room, and there's a recording, but that's about it. So that's because that song's pretty new, and yeah, that's an, and it's an exclusive version for your show. I think,
oh, that's,
I messed
fantastic.
Up, so it's all good. But yeah, that's a new one that I really like, and so if now all your listeners go, oh man, Three Chord Money, that song's not out yet, but you can go and listen to other Three Chord Money songs. If you like that style, that's how they go.
There you go. They can awesome. Check everything out. It's awesome. Well, thanks, thank you, Anthony, for sharing. This is great. So now let's dive deeper into the music and talk about your self-titled album released in 2016. So I guess we all agree that the music of Three Chord Money tells a story in the tradition of country music, right? But what is the story being told on this album that you released back in 2016?
You know, I love this question. I read through these questions. Like, what a great question. And I put a lot of thought into it. I think, so the first three chord money, especially, we're like, we all came in. Andy had songs. Kenny had a song. I had some songs. And we really, you know, we're putting this together to make it, you know, sort of a cohesive sound and what we were doing. Even how it, later in the question, how it relates to Highway Songs, which was the second record. To me, all the songs, it's not really the theme from, like, I could, it's like anything when you write songs. Like, I write them all, they're true stories. I don't really write anything. I feel like there's always a thread of, I can tell you where I was, this is what's going on, this is what this is about, blah, 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 blah. So the cool thing is you can look, they're basically postcards of your life. Mm-hmm. Like, I can say, okay, if that came out in 2016, and I think Highway Songs is 2019, there are specifics to what you're doing right then, you know? And that's what's mm-hmm. cool about that first record, which we got. The first record, I love the first record. I mean, it really came out. Like, it's great when you make a record and it's really the music that's in your head. Mm-hmm. And you go, that's exactly how I wanted to sound. And we went over to Barn Sound Studios with Derek Chafin as producer, and he had done the last Clashing Flag record. And he's phenomenal at, you know, he's always good with a couple extra things. Hey, man, why don't we try a little vocal in the back? Oh, I don't know if that'll work. Oh, yeah, it sounds better. And, it, you know, he got a guy to play piano for us. The first record has a pedal, you know, pedal guitar, steel guitar. And it, you know, that record came out so much better than I expected it to. I love it. And that was really how we jumped into this. We go, oh man, this is cool. And you know, the record's real good. So that's how I look at, you know, if you look at one album, say 2016, that's what I'm doing in 2016, because mm-hmm. I'm writing songs based on my situation then. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's how I can really gauge things. Is I say, oh, this song, I wrote this, and I know what it's about. And you know, I'm just saying for myself. And I don't really go, a couple of them I will go on, even if I'm playing on my, like a solo gig, like Not the Road, I do share that story a little bit. I don't really go on. The coolest thing is if someone wants to know. Like if they say, oh, what's this song about? That's songwriter utopia. If someone walks up to you and says, hey, man, I really love this song. What's it actually about? I'm like, okay, I'll tell you for an hour.
As you're talking, I'm thinking that your musical journey is so, so rich. But, you know, if you go back to 2016 and you think of all the things that were happening with you in your life, so are you able to pick up some of the highlights, the musical highlights on this album?
Sure. On the first three chord money record, actually, probably my favorite. Well, the highlights for me is in between crashes, because that was sort of when we sort of got that was a very transition. It feels almost like a Clashing Planet song, but then we're like, no, let's play it like this. Like rather than, so you can play it on the acoustic guitar, but not so electric, like if we had done it in Clashing Planet.
Okay.
So that was one that sort of like, that was, that just came in. And it shows where we were going sound wise for that. Between bands, you know, from Clashing Planet to Three Chord Money. Mm-hmm. And actually my favorite song on the record is Living the Dream, which Andy wrote the whole thing. I really love that vocal, but he wrote that whole song start to finish. I have nothing to do with it except I sing on it. And those were, I think those are my two favorite on the record is Crashes and Living the Dream. And yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I can repeat that again, but Andy is so talented. He comes in with songs. And that's actually one of my favorite songs, Three Chord Money, that he wrote. I had nothing to do with that. So, this song is really important because I'm not, you know, selling myself.
You know, one of the things that I like the most is that when you look back in time, 2016, your first album, and the way you speak, you know, you feel so proud of it, right?
It's like, yeah, I am very proud of that Three Chord Money record. And I think, too, I think that a lot, maybe just because of where you get in your mind. When that came out, I was so happy with that record, and I would drive around and I'd listen to it over and over and over. Like I listened to it a lot, which I know is marking out for yourself, but I love that record. And I think of this a lot when it was Clashing Plaid. We'd put a record out and I'd go, I guess it's pretty good, because I think it's where you think you're trying to get, like, are we getting this on the radio or blah, 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 blah. And I don't know that I always appreciated the Clashing Plaid records at the time. Like now, if I go back and listen, I go, man, these are all good records.
There you go.
But it's sometimes when you're like, it's kind of like you're in the water and your record comes out. And I think sometimes you just put yourself under the water. You go, oh, this is a good record. That first three chord money was really one of the first ones that I remember when we were done. I just thought, man, this is a good record. Like I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I'm really proud of that record a lot.
Super cool. Super cool.
What I love about your music is, in my opinion, it tells a story, right?
Sure.
So I felt when I listened to the first album that really it was a coming of age story where the main character is living the dream and trying to do the best they can. Now the title of a song. Then right. Waiting on a train, looking forward to new adventures. So what is new for the band? Hence the second album, released in 2019, Highway Songs. I see that as a mature evolution to the first album. Do you agree with that?
In a lot of ways, yeah. Highway Songs was more of a band record. Like that's, we knew we were going to play that with Jeff on the drums. So I think there were songs where we go, yeah. It was really like the first one was, hey, let's try this. The second one was, okay, this is what we do.
Okay.
And it's the same thing. You know, you're writing songs. Interesting enough with that, at the last song on Highway Songs is Pretty Things. Pretty Things was a Clashing Plaid song. So now this, it's got that Stones feel. And you just, so on the Three Chord Money record, it's got a little more of a Stones feel. You know, hand claps, we're doing that. Definitely. And if you don't, I mean, that's the thing. You would say if you don't get a little, say, mature from one record to the next, then you're not trying hard enough.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
an evolution to mm-hmm. records. And then it's, you know, and then we cut a single after that called You and the Moon. And that's the thing. Now, that was 2019. Here we are, 2023. I'm hoping to do a record. But, you know, like everybody else, we didn't make a record during COVID. You know, during the COVID, my big hit was called Wash Your Hands, Wash Your Hands. This is a funny story, just songwriting. When the whole COVID situation started, we all thought, you know, it would be 2 weeks. It was going to take 2 weeks. So everyone's going to sit and watch Netflix for 2 weeks. And it was wash your hands. You know, they're telling everyone to wash your hands. My brother, he puts on a Facebook, hey, everyone should write a song this weekend about hand washing. So I sit down, I write, it's 20 seconds, wash your hands, wash your hands. It's on YouTube. And it got on the news and it got on the Instagram. So it blows up. It's 20 seconds. But then the whole thing, we all got, you know, life got sidetracked for such a long time. But that was my, you know, that's my big COVID hit. I was running the COVID in 2020. I actually still, I'll play that bit. When I'm playing live, I'll wash your hands. I do it in with, I Saw the Light by Hank Williams, and I get to a middle part and I'll go wash your hands. And people laugh. I mean, it's funny, but I actually didn't write a ton of stuff in those couple of years of COVID because it was just kind of down for me. Mm. I have some songs. We'll go make another record and I have a bunch of songs, but not tons. I'm always a type of person that I have to go out and do stuff. I have to look around and see things happening. At the time I wrote one called Working from Home. It's just goofy. That's never going to go on a record of any kind, but it was fun on Facebook and it'll pop up in my Facebook memories. At the time, I think we were all cooped up in the house and everybody was on their phones or their computers. So I'll have, a video like that, Working from Home. It was a pretty good song, whatever. And there's a million comments because people were all sitting on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was, you have to be creative in your situation. You write a song, go wash your hands. That's what I'm saying. But I'm a very observational writer. Either it has to happen to me or I sort of have to watch it happen. And that's how I write songs. Conversations, people will say things and you think about it. That's sort of how I write.
Stories. Okay, your stories.
Story songs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it goes to a great story. And I was talking the other day to my brother about a guy. One of my actual great musical influences early on was a guy named Rob Barsky, who had produced for us like the first cassette I ever was on in like 1991. He produced for us, and his name's Rob Barsky. Future Music, if you ever listen to Monco Radio, Future Music Radio comes on at night. Rob Barsky was the first guy to say to me, "Nah, man, you have to write songs that are meaningful to you and they're about things." Because we went in to do a record, you know, tape at the time, and my lyrics were terrible, really. I'm a kid. And he says, "Nah, man, they have to be about stuff." And that has stuck with me now. I'm 30 years in, man, writing songs. And you go, "Nope, what's it about? What's it about?" You know, that's the thing. Again, musical influences. I'm lucky to have some people come along that says, "I'm going to help you with your songwriting a little bit, just to point you in a good direction." Because that's my number one thing, is writing songs. I love writing songs and recording songs.
So Highway Songs was released almost 4 years ago. So what was the story behind those songs 4 years ago? And what do you plan on writing about for your next album?
Well, I have a bunch. I mean, I hope in a High Road will be either a single or the next album. I did think of that too. I mean, like I said, these questions are great. Yeah, you're 4 years later. Everybody's got songs. I mean, Andy's got some, I know he's got some great songs. We've been doing some stuff. I will say for myself, if we're going from Highway Songs to the next record, in that song, Hope in a High Road, the first line of the song is, "I'm not going to write a sad song tonight." I probably have, you know, like, I'm trying to be more positive with writing, and it's easier to write sad songs, I think, because not sad per se, but even mad songs or whatever, because it's on your head all day. Like if someone cuts you up in traffic, you spend the whole rest of your ride to work on, that guy, you write a song. I'm trying to be real positive. I've been doing a lot of acoustic shows where like cover shows, and when you're playing songs, not just my own, like covers, you think about what you're saying, you know, like, I'm trying to be upbeat, you know, like a little more up positive. And that's always been my thing, positive. So I would love to think, like I have three or four that I really like for the next record. And I know Andy always has a lot of great songs that he's written. So I just, that's what, if I have a, I don't know, we're going to probably make a record this year. And I'm just hoping my stuff comes off positive. I think the other stuff does too, but that's where I really want to head. And I love the Highway Songs record too. I love that record. But it is, yeah, you go, that's 2019. Everything's kind of, well, we had done, since then, we did a single, You and the Moon, and a couple of Christmas songs, which get some decent play. That was 2 years ago. Hey, Now It's Christmas. And before that was Don't Take Down That Christmas Tree Just Yet, which Christmas songs get played. You know, you get a good Christmas song, it gets played on the radio. And that's cool. And again, Christmas, I write great positive Christmas songs. When I was in Clashing Plaid, you know, in the 90s, we had a song called All I Got for Christmas Is Drunk. And it was decidedly not a happy Christmas song, but that's what it was at the time. Like it's saying, you can roadmap your life with your song. I go, yep. All I Got for Christmas Is Drunk is not Hey Now It's Christmas. Yeah. And it's what's cool is, you know, you're, it gives you a little roadmap of where you're at.
So, Anthony, what do you think are some of the accomplishments of the band since its inception? If you have to pick, let's say, some milestones, accomplishments, and achievements, so what would those be?
Well, I think, you know, I still get a kick out of being on the radio. Like some of you here, I listen every night. I'm sure it's Wednesday night. It's called The Electric Crush. It's one of my favorite radio programs. And even so, I know Eric and Judy, but not like we're, you know, and if I'm driving home listening to their show and a Three Chord Money song comes on, I still nerd out. I'm like, well, wait, that's me. Or, you know, I always feel like that's an accomplishment. I mean, I think especially with the streamings, if you make your own playlist, like I'll make my own playlist and I'm all over it. Listen. But I've had a couple times where I know one time I was driving home in the summer. I have an every Wednesday gig and I'm driving home the one night listening to the Electric Crush and they play a three chord money song. Well, I nerd out. And that's me. I know this song. And so that's as an accomplishment. I really like, I get a kick out of being on the radio.
Nice.
I mean, this is a good question too. Some of the accomplishments. One of my sayings I have a lot, it's sort of in my head to keep myself floating a lot. Cause you know, you can get really hard on, you know, I'm not, my songs aren't worldwide or whatever. I don't know that I'm super successful, but I am very happy. I'm a very happy person. And that's 90% of playing music. I, you know, when I talk to people, it gives me something to put my shoes on in the morning about and go, hey, I got a song, I got a gig, I got a guitar. The rest of it's just gravy. You know, if you can get your record on the radio or you want people to hear it, that's great. But the number one thing is the music, playing the music, writing the music is what keeps me floating in my life. So that's in a weird, I mean, a lot of guys, you know, you get where the bands fall off. I've been really lucky to have guys to play with for such a long time. And that I actually feel like that's kind of my biggest accomplishment to be, I'm 30 years being Anthony from Three Chord Money or Anthony from Clash of Plaid. And that's a good thing. That's, you know, that's my accomplishment, really.
And let me tell you, so there's no unique definition for success. You know, Whatever makes you happy, that's being successful. And from what you're saying, Anthony, even, you know, playing with the same guys for so many years that they are your friends.
Right.
That's a success, my friend. I'm telling you right away.
I agree. That's you hit it. You got it right. We absolutely agree. That is a success.
I have one final question about the music. Love You Like a Dog. I think that song deserves an explanation. Absolutely. It was released in 2022. What was the inspiration for that song?
So Love You Like a Dog. I actually wrote that fairly specifically for, we do a lot of shows for the Philadelphia Animal Welfare Society, Philly Paws. And we go down every year. They have an event called the Mutt Strut in October. And we had gone down, I went a couple times with Andy and Kenny. I went one time with Andy. I went a couple times myself. I go every year to play that event. So Love You Like a Dog is a song about dogs. And you can take it however, that's the point. You take it however you want. You know, you take Love You Like a Dog however you want. But it really is a song almost from the dog's perspective, like of loving. I'm really a cat guy. I tell the story all the time. I'm really like a cat guy. But we were playing these shows for them. And I said, you know, I'm going to write this Love You Like a Dog. And it came out. We went over. That's great. 2022, we went over and recorded that. And that's, I mean, I'm really, you know, I'm trying to write, it's a joyful song, you know, I want to love you like a dog. And that's actually the one for listeners that you can look up. That's on Spotify. That's on every digital. We have a Bandcamp. I mean, that's, search it, you'll find it everywhere. That's on everything. Of the songs, of this, I'll play it. I'm going to play it for you so you can hear, but you can look that one up and play the actual finished version with, you know, with Andy and Kenny and Jeff. And that's it's a great song. So that is the explanation, that song. Like, it really is a song about dogs, but however you take it is up to a listener if they want to think about it a different way. And I play the harmonica on this, on the record. Of course, Andy plays the guitar, and he's great. But this, so this is Love You Like a Dog with more of a harmonica. And I, you know, I just say, it's all, for all the dog lovers, cat lovers, I just love cats and dogs, so it goes like this.
I want to love you like a dog. When you go to bed at night, I want to be your new best friend. You know we're never gonna fight. I want to love you like a dog. I'll be beside you every day. Come on, let's go and take a walk. I wanna love you.
so cool.
Dog song, you know?
Hey, what a catchy song. That's amazing.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. Nice. I really like that one too. And that's, you know, it goes to that one. I really felt like was a Johnny Cash. There's a lot of inspiration in Johnny Cash on
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah. You can tell. Yeah.
It's really a song to go out and, you know, love your dog. And, you know, I said, you know, let's go and take a walk. I love you like a dog. I you know, I'm just being positive. And it goes over with dog people. And like I said, we played a lot of events. I really love what Philly Paws does. It's animal rescue, you know? And it was just one. That's where it was inspired. And I think, you know, it's a great song.
It's one of those songs you were talking about, you know, being positive. But the minute you started playing, it makes you smile. You know, it makes you happy, right? Yeah. So that's awesome.
Thanks.
That's
good. That's
love
good.
Love it. Hey, Anthony. Well, thanks again, you know, for playing for us live. This is truly an honor, you know, to have you here with us.
I've had a blast.
We're going to end this episode where we started, okay, talking about KISS. So let me ask you, how do you feel about the end of the road? Do you really believe it's the end?
No, I don't think it's the end of KISS at all. Like, I think they might not go out and do the big tour with the costumes and the makeup, but there's always going to be something. I think, and I've had this conversation a million times. I mean, I feel like, you know, KISS has done a farewell tour since about 2000 something, you know, we all bought into it. But I have said this a million times, you know, there's nothing more rock than continuing to go out and play.
Yeah.
You know, we've been, as KISS fans, we've all been so lucky. They never left us and we never left them. I mean, I think it's one of the joys of, you know, for KISS fans, I hardly know a life without a KISS record coming out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they need to stop. I think whatever makes you happy, you know, if you're Gene or Paul, or, you know, if you're, like I said, the Gene solo show was fantastic. He's a great player. It was, I mean, talk, you know, interactive, where he had, my brother got on stage a couple times, at least once. I know there's a video of it on stage. The songs are, the main thing with that is the songs are great. And it's, you know, through our whole life, the KISS songs are so great. So I don't think the end of the road means no more KISS. There'll be Gene, even if it's Gene's solo performance. I mean, I've said, you know, we have this conversation a lot. If they showed up in a pair of jeans and guitars, I don't care about the makeup. We're all adults. We know what they look like. I love the makeup as much as the next guy, but just show up and play. Let's hear the songs.
Yeah, it's the music, man.
Love storyteller. Mm-hmm. Really, and I'm sure I don't always really dig into the stories. You could probably find it out, you know, if you dug enough what each song is about. I remember that's actually in a songwriting sense. I remember one time in about, you know, 1993, finding a magazine where they talked about their inspiration for the early songs, like Hotter Than Hell. He sort of took off the Free song, All Right Now. That magazine article was like a holy grail kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're inspirations. That's, I love to know what the process of songwriting is. Or you know, you can now get that some of that stuff on the Gene box sets where it's got the riff in it. And then it, you know, so no, I don't want to make that a too long answer, but I don't think they're going to be done. I don't think they should be done. Whatever they want to do and play, I think it's cool. I like the Soul Station stuff that Paul does. Mm-hmm. I don't think it might mean less touring, because it's hard. That's the hard part.
It is the hard part.
Yeah. But they could go to Vegas and do a residency. They could play at the Rio where the mini golf is. I mean, you know, if you go to the KISS mini golf, then you could go see a concert. But I say that all the time of anybody. There's nothing more rock than play on. And, you know, Paul Stanley, he's still in better shape than all of us. I mean, the guy, he looks like king of the rock stars.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, so no, I'm firmly behind them play on, you know, and if you don't want to, that's fine too. But we've been lucky, you know, that 19, you know, the like Love Gun, I will always have a copy of Love Gun pretty close at hand. That never changes. You have that forever. And that's something we can always have. And I just feel like play on, you know, everyone should just play on.
But you know what? With highs and lows, you know, these guys, they gave us 50 years of happiness, man. Mm-hmm. So you mm-hmm. can't ask for more.
Yeah.
So, you know, they announced, you know, the famous, you know, two final shows at Madison in New York. Do you plan to attend any of the final shows?
No, I probably won't go up. I just sort of scheduling and money, you know.
Okay.
It's okay. I mean, I probably won't go to that. I probably haven't gone to I haven't gone to a lot of big concerts lately, but yeah, I won't.
Okay.
For no other reason. I just don't think I'll go to New York to see the concert, but I not like, oh, no, I don't want to see that because I would, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's wrap up the show with a few words to our listeners. So what would you like to say to the Kiss Army and fans of Three Chord Money?
Well, to the Kiss Army, I hope they keep listening to your show. If they made it an hour with me, I really appreciate that. So listen to the Kiss Room, of course. Listen to I love the Kiss Room. And that's just, you know, appreciate. This is my words of wisdom at the end. If you made an hour with me, I appreciate it. Appreciate what you can do with your people going to see Kiss. That's what you remember. Hey, man, remember the time we went to this concert, that concert, that family thing? I mean, now you have people taking their kids. It's the community. That's what's important. You know, appreciate that. Be thankful for that, that we can all do that. You know, that's what's cool.
And what would you like to say to fans of Three Chord Money?
I would just love if people could go on and listen to some Three Chord Money and if they like it, that's great. I'm easy to get a hold of. You know, there's a Facebook, Three Chord Money. I'm a Three Chord Money Anthony on Instagram. I'm easy to get a hold of. I mean, if you like it, I would really appreciate that. That's just great. I mean, that's what I do. So if you also like that, that'd be great.
And would you mind playing one more song for us before we go?
I'm going to play one more song, and it's got great story. It's got a great story to it. It was just when you and I were talking, I thought of this. So this is a good story, and it brings a lot of it together. So Rockin' Pod number 2, my brother and I drove to Rockin' Pod number 2. So it's about 12 hours for us to drive to Nashville. And we were in the car, and he does, on the Kiss Room, he does the Kiss Room Demos project, which you can get on. And I love a lot of great songs. So we get in the car, and he says, oh, you know, you should write a song for the Demos project. And I start singing this song in a Gene voice, like at the Gene, almost the Gene solo album voice, that kind of Beatle-y voice. I'm trying, you know. And then you go, wait, that's a pretty good song. So I actually think this goes along with, so the song is called Best of Our Times. There is no recording of this, so this will be another exclusive. If you're listening this far to the show, I know I did it on the Kiss Room, but and it's on the Demos project. There is a recording on the Demos project, but this is very exclusive to your show. I think for people, kind of what we've talked about this whole show is your whole road. This song is about that, appreciating the people that you've kind of done all the cool things with and being happy about that. So my story is, again, my brother, my hugest musical influence. We start out, oh yeah, write the song, and then you go, okay, pretty good. So this song is called Best of Our Times. I'm going to play this one for you.
Started out, something you said to me, and every word, something a song should be. Every and down the long and winding road. A place to be and a place to go.
An exclusive play on your show.
Nice, thank you.
Wow. I think it's only on this. It's on the Kiss Room Demo Project and you guys.
So wow, fantastic. Thank you so much.
You know, for listeners, it made it an hour in. There you go. You little...
Hey, Anthony, just some closing remarks. You know, honestly, I have no words, you know, to express my gratitude, you know, towards you. For spending the time with us, you know, playing your songs, you know, beautiful songs, exclusives for us. And just to share with you, you know, I had a pretty rough day today and a pretty rough week. And being here with you and Pasc has been a blessing, man. So you're a beautiful soul. And I cannot wait to meet you in person, man. And this is one of the things that Kiss, you know, makes for us, you know, meeting people like you. So thank you so much, man, for being here.
Well, thank you. I had a ball. I had a great time. And I listened to your show, so it's cool. You know, I'm like, now I'm on it. It's cool.
Super cool. Thank you.
No, I've been looking forward to this episode for a while now. I know I know of you as well, and I've been looking forward to getting to know you. And I honestly feel like I made a new friend today. You know, so, you know,
I love that.
I really can't wait to meet you in person and shake your hand. And I know when I meet you, it's like we've been friends for a long time. I feel like I know you so much. You know, so thank you again for coming on the show. And, you know, like Claudio said, you are a beautiful soul and what a nice guy, very talented. And, you know, we can't thank you enough for giving us your time today.
I had a ball. I really appreciate it. It's great to talk to you. I've had a great time. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm so glad. So thanks again for being on the show. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anthony.
So to the Kiss Army, we hope you enjoyed this episode and the music. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, please send them to talktome@kissarmynationpodcast.com. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, like and subscribe on YouTube or follow us on Spotify, Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to make yourself heard. Leave us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. See you all soon, Kiss Army.